You're going to be learning Lukuti Sichas Chelek Chaf Aleph, the second Sicha for Parshas Vayera. So in this week's Parsha, it discusses the first of the first seven Makis. And the second Makis, Sfardeya. The Pasuk tells us in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Chavav and Chav Zayin, that Yemer Shal Moshe, Hashem tells Moshe, Bar Pare, and he tells him to Shalach HaZami, and he continues, V'im Ma'in Ata L'Shaleach, and if you refuse to send them, that if I will cause a plague in all of your foundries with the frogs. So the Medrash has a shayla on this. What is the meaning of the word all of your boundaries? The word kol seems to be superfluous. It could have just said that I will cause a plague in your boundaries. What does it mean, in all of your boundaries? That seems to be redundant and extra. It's self-understood that when it says gvulcha, it means all of your boundaries. It means within the country. So the Medrash says like this. Medrash tells us that it says in the Pasuk in Kehelas, Perek Hei Pasuk Ches, the Yisrin Eretz Becholhu, which is a very hard Pasuk to translate. So I'll give you first the how the Mefarshim translate before I go into the Medrash. So they translate the word v'yisroin as the lashon of yeser, something extra, something in addition. The Ibn Ezra translates it like this: v'yisroin eretz b'kolu, that the advantage of land that you're able to grow produce from it is more advantageous than any other type of profession, because even the melech, as the end of the pasuk says, melech masadatava, that even the melech is subservient, is meshubah to the land, because even the king needs the food that comes from the land. Therefore, yisra and eretz, that the advantage of the land is over everything else. Rashi learns it. He understands the word the yisra also as something which is extra, but it goes on the human being. He says those individuals that have gaiva, that they think they are greater than everybody else, the Yisra and Eretz, the haughty ones of the land, their punishment, Bokolhu, their punishment will be with a koldu, with even tiny little things which are unimportant. And he gives the example of Titus. Titus, the Roman general that conquered Yerushalayim, was killed by a little gnat that went into his nose and eventually caused him to die. Third shot, and the Sudas David tells us, the Yisra and Eretz, it says that everybody had the riches of the land. The Yisra and Eretz Bakalu, that the riches of the land was given to everybody. And since they sinned, therefore everybody will get punished equally. But the point is that all these three Meforshim understand the word V'yisroin as some type of advantage. Either Ibn Ezra says that the advantage is on the land has a certain advantage, or as Rashi explains it, it's talking about certain individuals that think they are greater than others, or as the Metzudas David says, that it's referring to what the people receive from the land, that everybody received the riches of the land. The Medrash learns it differently. The Medrash is going to word the Lashon Yisroin as something which is extra, as the idea of superfluous, something extra which l'chayr is not needed, not extra as an advantage, but extra as superfluous, something which is unnecessary. So he says, Rabbi Seinu Amrin, the Rabbeinu Darshan the pasuk like this. What does it mean, v'yisran eretz b'kolhu? That afilu dvarim sh'ata roi oisim kilo hem yutarim ba'ilam, that even things that you see them as extra in the world, as superfluous in the world, kagoin, zvuvim, parushim v'yatushim, flies, fleas, and gnats, hem hoyu b'chalal b'riyasa sh'olam, they were also part of Hashem's creation. Shanabra, as it says, by my separations, v'yara l'kim eskola sh'asa v'inay tev mai, that Hashem saw everything as called, the word call with everything that he made, and everything was amazing. So he says, Ibuzay, how do you translate the word Bakal, that what we're trying to say is that Yisrael arts, even things which seem to be superfluous, Bakalhu, they're included in the word Bakal. That when Hashem says as Kola Shir Asahinite, these items which are Yisrael arts, the superfluous ones, are also part of the Bakal. Meaning that they also have, at Alice, they also have certain advantages that come from them, as the Mefarshim explain, how these different bugs, different types of medications, are made from these different types of bugs. Look in the Mefarshim for exactly which one was for which, but the different types of bites, like snake bites, you use some of these creatures basically to give you different types of healing. Okay, but the point is that they're also part of Kol Asher Asa because they also have a Tayalis. That's Rabbanim say that. Rav Acha says that a filu dvarim shata roya isim kilum yutar ba'ilam. Eat things which you think are extra. Going the chosim rakrabim, like snakes and scorpions. What's he adding, Rav Acha? Rav Acha, the Pashas is adding that even things which are not just that you don't see, they seem superfluous. It's worse than that. They cause damage. They're dangerous, like snakes and scorpions. They're also b'chalal b'riyasa sha'ilam. And then he continues, and this is going to be a third point. Then he says, "Amalam Hakadosh Baruch Hu Neviim." Hashem tells the Neviim, "Ma tasvurim? What do you think? Im ein atam hochum b'shluchusi, chin ein leishliach." You think that if you don't go on my shluchas, because there were, as we know, Moshe, Yirmiyah, they didn't want to go because of their nevus on the shluchas of Hashem. So Hashem tells him, "You think that if you're not going to go on my shluchas, I will not have any other shliach." B'yisrael eretz b'kolhi, that the advantage, even those superfluous ones, are included in this idea of kol. Even they have a mila. And what is this? What's this mila that they have? That ani oisa shluchusi, that I'm able to do my shluchus through them. Afilei de nachash, afilei de akra, afilei sfardeya. I could do my shluchus through snakes, scorpions, and a sardeya. And tedelacha, know that this is true, that I do use these items as, or creatures as shluchim. Shechei, she'elu lehat tzira, heicha yekadosh baruch hu pereim in amarayim. Because if it wasn't for the tzira, the hornet, how would have Hashem punished the Amoraim? As it says that one of the ways that Hashem killed the Amoraim was he had this tzira, had a poison, and it shot its poison at the Amoraim, and the Amori became blinded from that, and the Yidden were able to easily conquer them. So the tzira was ported, was one of the shluchim of Hashem in order to punish the Amori. And if it wasn't for the tzvardeya, how would Hashem punish the Mitzrayim? And now we can understand the meaning of the pasuk. What does that mean? Why does it say the word kol? Because you have to read it like this, that I will cause a plague with those items which are called kol. So he neigeth with kol the gvurcha. And which kol am I referring to? The pasuk tells us b'svardeya. So the idea of kol is that even things which, that even the svardeya is included in the word kol. So Hashem's saying that even, that I will punish you with the item which is included in the word kol, the yisr eretz b'kol, that thing which is called kol in the pasuk, I'm going to punish you with that. And that's the svardeim. So that's what the Rav Acha says. So in short, let's just, the Medrash gives another pshat that the Yisran arts, those things which seem extra, are also part of this idea of kol asher asa Hashem hinei tayv ma'id. And we have three levels. Level number one, Rabbanan, even things that seem like they don't have any advantage, but they also don't damage or don't cause at least severe damage, they have also a talus. But Rav Acha adds that even things which are known for their damage, they cause severe damage, like snakes and scorpions, they also have a talus. What is the talus? The Rebbe explains in the Sicha. The talus that they have is that they're able to scare away even a hezek, which is even greater than them. Sometimes you have a smaller hezek, but the smaller hezek is advantageous is because it's able to get rid of a greater type of hezek. Just to give you an example from modern history, you have the in China, 1958 to 1962, they had what was called the Great Sparrow Campaign. At that point of time, they're trying to get rid of four pests. And one of the pests were the sparrow. Why did they want to get rid of the sparrow? Because the sparrow would nest next to farms, agriculture areas, and the sparrow would, of course, would be eating the grain and would get into the storage, the storage areas, and they would eat a lot of the food, and therefore it was considered destructive. So they made a big campaign to get rid of the sparrow, and therefore for the next few years, whenever the farmers had to kill any sparrow they saw, if they found any eggs, they had to search for the eggs and destroy the eggs. If they found any nests, they were supposed to destroy all the nests, and they were supposed to make a lot of loud noises, because when they had loud noises, they weren't able to mate, and it would scare them. The point is that they spent the next while destroying any type of nest, egg, kill any bird that you found. And the purpose was, because they were a nezek, they caused the damage. What happened, unfortunately, very sad, what happened was, once they didn't have the sparrow, the sparrows also ate a lot of the insects, ate specifically the locust. So when the sparrows weren't there, the locusts were able to multiply, and it caused a massive infestation of locusts. And we know, of course, the locust arba eats all the crops. And the next year, they had a massive locust, a plague of locusts, which destroyed all the crops. And that caused the Great Famine of China, where millions of people died because they basically had no food for a few years until, I guess, the sparrows come back. So sometimes you see that you have a smaller hezek, which is the sparrow, which protected them from a much greater hezek, which would have been the locusts. So same idea here, that sometimes you have a Nakash Akrav, but those things could protect you from a much greater type of a damage. And the third thing is that not only do they have an advantage, but they have a very great advantage, which the Rav Acha is adding, is this idea of the shlichus of Hashem. Meaning it's not just a mundane rishus, a chol dikah advantage. They might even have a holy type of advantage. The mila that they might have, the yisrael that, sorry, the koli, why are they so good? Because they also come shluchim of Hashem, which of course is begilu. You could see their te'elas, not just that there's a physical te'elas, but there's a spiritual te'elas behind them too. Other mefarshim add that there's, what's the addition of adding this idea of shlichus? Is that the Rav Ach is trying to say is that even the aspect of these animals, which you think is bad, which causes a hezek, zeh gufa is a ta'alis. This that the nachash, the akos, the tzira, these things cause damage, that itself helps them be the shluchim of Hashem, that they're able to punish the rishayim. So it's adding this idea that not just that there's something bad about them, but don't worry, there's also a ta'alis. He's saying more than that. The damn this that they're mazikim zeh gufa is part of Hashem's plan because they're able to be used as a shluchim. So that's an interesting idea. So therefore, we have these three pratim really. One pratim rabbanan and Rav Acha adds two additional details. So we have a few shilas in this. Before I go into the shilas, just one interesting another detail in the machloikas between rabbanan and Rav Acha. This is from the Toldos Noach. There are brings that bring in power 12 or 13, that he says that there's another area of argument between Rabbanan and Rav Acha. It says by after Adam sinned that Arura Adama, that the land was cursed. So the Machloek is the Medrash, what was it cursed with? According to one shot is that at that point of time it was cursed that there will be these bugs which will come up from the ground itself, that the ground will produce bugs which will destroy the crops. Which means is that these pests were not created b'sheishis mei, but rather it was a curse that was given to the ground after the ground was involved in the sin of Adam. But that the second opinion disagrees, and he holds that even the bugs and the pests, everything was created b'sheishis mei maisa. So, Ibazai, what was the curse? He says the curse is that people will curse the ground, saying like just similar that you curse the mother that gave birth to a rasha, you curse the ground that gave birth or sustains Rishayim. That since it was the rasha that sustains the Rishayim, so we curse the ground too. So he says, Ibazai, what's the machlekes? What Rabbanan are trying to say is that these zvuvim parushim, these insects that were created much later, they were created as a curse, arura adama. So you might think that since these items were something which was made later, was made as a curse, they taka don't have, they're not part of kol asher asa. They're not part of the b'chlal b'riyasa shel kadosh baruch hu that have a ta'alis. No, they were created for a curse. So therefore, their chachamim or mechadish, no, that is incorrect. Even these items are part of kol asher asa v'nei ta'amid. Yes, they might have been made later, but the yis and eretz b'cholu, they're also included b'chol. Meaning is at the point that they were created for a curse, but they're also included in this idea that they have an advantage. And that's what the pasuk Kikalitz is trying to mechadish. That the yis and eretz is even b'cholu, even in these items which were made later. So according to the Rabbanan, that's additional chiddush. Besides that, that everything, even these things that don't seem to have a talus, taka do have a talus, but even things, he's trying to tell us that even things that seem to be that they were created later and therefore they're not included in this pasuk, they're also included in that pasuk. While Rav Acha holds like the other opinion that these things were always part of Maaseh Bereishis, and therefore, the pasuk v'yisro en eretz b'chol, who is not coming to, include them. And therefore, the Rebbe points out that according to the Rabbanan, it's trying to be mechadish, basically, that things that kind of seem to be growing on their own, like you have like the maggots that come out of meat, or the shrutzen that come out of fruits, or the kitnias, these things that seem like they're not, we don't go into that whole discussion, but halachically are not considered being born through Peruvu, even these things, Rabbanan are trying to tell us, they're also included in the Briyasa Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu, that even these things have a ta'alis. Okay. Now let's go into the questions. So Zeb has a few questions. He focuses basically on Rav Acha. The questions he asks is, what does it mean? He says that if it wasn't for the Tzfardeya, How would Hashem have paid back the from the Mitzrayim? What Hashem's trying to say is that I needed the tzardeya, like I use these things of shluchim. I know that I use them for shluchim because it was I needed this. Because if it wasn't for the tzardeya, I couldn't have punished the Mitzrayim. So you could see how important the tzardeya is. So the question is, what does it mean that he couldn't have punished the Mitzrayim without tzardeya? First of all, it was only 1 out of 10 makas. It was 10 makas, it wasn't all of them, so he did punish them without it. And second of all, it wasn't even the greatest one. The greatest maka was either the first one was which was dam, which much worse than tzfardeya, because dam was their livelihood. That's how they made their whole sustenance, the farming, the whole industry was based on the water, the Nilus. And then they had Makas Bechayrus, which was the one that actually got the Yidden to be sent out of Mitzrayim. And then you had Kriyas Yamsuf. So what does it mean that if it wasn't for the Tzfardeya, he wouldn't have been able to punish them? Bechayrus, he did punish them. And the other punishments were much worse than the Tzfardeya. That's the first question. And the second question is, that's an Inyan. What is the Medrash trying to say is that if it wasn't for the Tzfardeya, how could he have punished them? Don't we have a Kalal, Karbish Shluchim Malachim? Hashem has many messengers. Hashem could have punished the Mitzrayim in many ways. So if he didn't have the Tzfardeya, it would have been impossible. What do you mean? Hashem could have punished them in many ways. Those are the first questions of the Sicha. The Sicha also asks a few additional ideas. He wants us to understand the order that Rav Achav gives. Acha says, "Ani oisa shluchusi afilo de nachash akrav filo de akrav filo de tzfardeya." Even through the nachash, akrav, and tzfardeya. Why in that order? L'chayra, what's the main chiddush of Rav Acha? Rav Acha is trying to tell Rav Chamam hold that even things that seem like they're superfluous, they also have a mila. And Rav Acha is saying not just things which are extra have a mila, more than that, even things which are mazikim have a mila. So why are you adding Tzfardeya? Tzfardeya is not known for its hezek. A Nachash is known, an Akav is known, maybe a Tzira is known. A Tzfardeya is not really known for causing damage. And not only does he bring the Tzfardeya, which shouldn't have been brought at all, he brings it as the last one. Afilo de Nachash, Afilo de Akav. What's the biggest chiddush? The biggest chiddush is Afilo de Tzfardeya. Why is Tzfardeya the biggest chiddush? And more than that, the only one of those three that he actually brings the Tedelacha is about the Tzfardeya. Nachash, he doesn't give any stories about. Akrav, he doesn't give any stories about. He gives the story, Dafka, about Tzfardeya, that if it, you should know that if it wasn't Tzfardeya, I wouldn't have been able to punish the Mitzrayim. Why Dafka Tzfardeya is, are we bring, is a proof being brought from it? He also brings from Tzira, but Tzira, he doesn't actually bring in the list at the beginning. He doesn't bring that one. So, but either way, the point is Tzfardeya, he does, the other two he doesn't. Why? Why by Tzfardeya is that so important? What's the chiddush by Tzfardeya that, hey, it's mentioned last, and he brings Taka, he has to bring a raya for the Tzfardeya? What is the vort there? And the last question is, how Hashem's saying to the Nevi'im, if you don't do my shluchas, I have other creatures that could do my shluchas. The shluchas of a Navi was very different than these types of creatures. These creatures are made for one thing. They're able to punish the Rishayim. A Navi's Indian is not to punish a Rasha, it's to Megala Lakus, to reveal what Hashem's message is. So he's saying, if I didn't have you, I have these other ones. How are they doing the same thing as the Navi? The Navi is to reveal Hashem's, to reveal a Lakus, while these things were just to punish the Rishayim. So Lachar, they're not identical at all. So just to repeat, let's just give a summary of what we said so far, and then we'll go into the beer. We brought down the Medrash, and we brought down the opinion of Rabbanan and Rav Acha. The Rabbanan holding that even things which are superfluous have a certain mila, have certain ta'alas. And Rav Acha adds that even things which are mazikim have a mila, and not only do they have a mila, but they even have the ability to do the shluchas of Hashem. And we asked a bunch of questions. The question is, really focusing on the idea of tzfardeya. A, why does the Medrash say that if it wasn't for tzfardeya, Hashem would not have been able to punish the Mitzrayim? He did punish them in other ways with even greater punishments. And B, that's an idea that Hashem needs a tzfardeya to punish doesn't seem to be correct. Furthermore, why is the tzfardeya the last one mentioned? It shouldn't have been mentioned at all. Definitely should not have been mentioned last. And why? And Dafk it has the proof that lulei hatzfardeya hayapeir min mitzrayim. And the last question is, l'chayra, how are these creature is really a substitute for the shluchos of the Levim, the Chayyur, it's two totally different types of shluchos. So the explanation the Rebbe gives is like this. says that the union of the Makkos that happened to Pyre and Mitzrayim, is not given stamp to punish the Mitzrayim. Rather, it's like the Pasuk tells us, "Beyedu Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem." The purpose was that the Mitzrayim should come to know that there's a Hashem, that there's a level of Hashem, and that there should be revealed Elokus in the world. And how was this Elokus revealed in Mitzrayim? They need to be broken. They need to be through the Makkos. The Makkos broke Mitzrayim, and through breaking the Yashrus of Mitzrayim and their Gaiva, they're able to come to see Hashem. And since the Klipa of Mitzrayim was special and distinct from other types of Klipas, so the particular type of Klipa Mitzrayim had to be broken in a particular way. And the Iker breaking of Mitzrayim had to be through the Tzvardea. So yes, they needed to have maybe multiple types of Makkos to ultimately destroy the Mitzrayim, but the main Klipa of Mitzrayim had to be destroyed through the Tzvardea. And that's going to be why the Medrash focuses on the Tzvardea, because it's Dafka, the union of the Tzvardea, which is able to fulfill the Shluchos of Hashem and be able to punish the Mitzrayim. And as we'll see, that Tzvardea is actually adding another Nekudin Ravacha, that not only things which are Mazikim are able to serve Hashem, but even something which is in the category of Klipa, which is it's category of Tzvardea, which is a totally different type of Klipa, even that is able to serve Hashem. So we're going to be adding another level in Ravacha, not just Mazikim, and not just that Mazikim to do Shluchas, you can even have a Tzvardea do the Shluchas. The Abir is Azai. In the Kfira that the Umas Ha'ilim have in Elokus, there's three levels. First level is, they believe in Hashem, they believe Hashem created the world, they believe Hashem is constantly giving them chayas and giving them their energy, but they are koifer in the achdus of Hashem. They call Hashem Elokai de Elokai, the God of gods, meaning is that they recognize that Hashem is the one who gives all the energy to all the other gods, gives the energy to the sun, the moon. Yes, he gives energy to everything, but they also believe that they have their own mitzias, that there's other things which are involved in creating the world in general, and more specifically regarding their own mitzias. So they recognize that there's Hashem, and they're not able to be over. Like Bilam said, that Hashem is the one that gives them their energy. Hashem is the boss, and they cannot be over him. But nonetheless, they still feel that they have their own existence. For example, basically, this idea would be is that how would they work? They have their own tivus, they have their own ritzinus. But they recognize that in order to get their own ritzinus, and they have to do it al pi what the Pharaoh wants. Since Hashem is the boss, Hashem is the one that gives the highest and gives them the kayim. So that in order to get what they want, they need to follow what Hashem's rules are. So it's about themselves, because they don't recognize themselves as just an extension of Hashem. The MS, everything is Hashem, and we are just a revelation of Hashem. Our mission is to reveal Hashem in this world. They don't recognize that. They recognize themselves as something which is separate, but being something which is separate, nonetheless, they need to follow what Hashem, they have to, in order to get what they want, they have to do what Hashem wants. Similar to Bilam, he says, like Uchal Aver. So he can't mamish go against what Hashem wants. At least the power which was in, the power of the Klipa which was in Bilam could not go against what Hashem wants, but it clearly didn't want what Hashem wanted. It wanted to curse the Yidden. He says, I can only curse the Yidden in a way that Hashem won't let me. So it was all about himself, but nonetheless, had to follow the rules. Okay, so that's the first level. The second level is that they're Moida and Metzius of Hashem. They also call Hashem Elokai de Elokaya, but their Koifer, that Hashem is the one that gives them their kiyim and created them, and they're completely dependent on Hashem. In other words, they're saying, yes, Hashem is maybe the greatest God, but there's many gods, and I could have been created from these other gods. Like, these other gods are the ones that take care of me. So there's many gods. Hashem is maybe the strongest one, but Hashem is not the one that's involved with me on my day-to-day life. I'm connected to this particular Avodah Zarah. This particular Avodah Zarah is the one that takes care of me. If Hashem wanted to get involved and of course he could override this other Avodah Zarah, but you know what it would be like? It would be similar to you have the king, and then you have, let's say, you have a king over a country, and then you have the nobles of the different provinces. So who runs the day-to-day show, and who is the one that makes the rules for that province? It's the nobleman that owns that particular piece of land. If the king wanted to override him, could he do that? Of course he could, but that's not usually how it's done. It's the king's not really involved with me. Unless it's a very special type of situation. So they're mighty that there's a Metzias of Hashem and he's the greatest God, but they're kaifer in that they're complete energy. They're kaifer that in the union of Hashkacha Pratis that Hashem is constantly being the Mashkiach and he's the one that's directly giving them their chayas, or at least directly telling the mazalus to give them the chayas, or the Ayin Sarim to give them the chayas. No, the Ayin Sarim have their own, Hashem gave, they have their own energies and their own life, and they deal with the world in their own way. And Hashem only gets involved in special occasions. And he says, this was the klipa of Pari. Pari says, Liya Oiri Anisasani. To me, I own the Nilus, and I made myself. What does that mean? It means is that he recognizes that yes, there's Hashem, but my existence doesn't come from Hashem. I created myself. Hashem might be stronger than me. I created myself. I'm a God too, and Hashem's a greater God, but I'm not dependent on him. The Rebbe gives a mashal of like an eved that rebels against his master. He might know that he's that Hashem's the he might know that this master is his master and he's just a slave, but nonetheless, he doesn't want to be butthole to him. And he knows that he wasn't born from this Adam. He's not dependent on the Adam. It just happens to be that this Adam is someone who's stronger than him, and he's his master, and he is not really interested. So he says, I think similar to that is Pari. Pari saying is, yes, there's a God, and maybe he's really the master of everything, but I'm not really interested in serving him. And I'm not really, he didn't create me. I created myself. And therefore, I'll do what I want to do. And maybe if he forces me to do something, I'll listen to him in that one occasion. But I'm not. But he doesn't have his, but I have nothing to do with him beside myself. And then the third level is someone who's makdish legamri the metzias of Hashem. This was similar to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, it says, here for Gita for Yosar. He didn't believe in the idea of Al-Qaeda. Like, I didn't believe in Hashem at all. So he doesn't have a complete atheist. So from these three Afanim, so L'chayr, what's the worst one? L'chayr sounds like the best is the first level. The second best would be the second, and the worst, of course, would be someone who doesn't believe in Hashem at all. But the truth is, there is in the second Eifin, the Eifin of Pari, there's a certain aspect of the Klipa of Pari which is actually worse than the Klipa of Nebuchadnezzar, because by Nebuchadnezzar, at least he's going against Hashem. He's denying Hashem. He's being makhish Hashem by going against something that shows that it bothers you. It had a certain hazaza, ungerührt. It pushed you. So why is that pushing you? It's because you know it's true. You know there's something there. And since it's something there, your conscience is fighting against, and therefore you need to fight against it. It's bothering you because it's somewhat revealed that you believe in it somewhat, and therefore you have to prove to yourself, prove to others that it's not real. Masha Enking, the way of Pare, Ari saying is Lee or Ari Anisisan. He says, yeah, maybe there's Hashem, but he has nothing to do with me. He's not fighting against him. He says, yeah, there is an Hashem, but it just has nothing to do with me. My Metzias has nothing to do with Hashem's Metzias. So by Nebuchadnezzar, at least he opens the conversation. He's fighting against Hashem. So he's notifying everybody that there's this concept of Hashem, but this just Hashem's not real. He starts the conversation. So in a certain way, his fighting against Hashem, A, shows that he has a certain belief in Hashem, even though he's fighting against it. And also, of course, for others, from this that you're fighting, that itself is being Mefaris Melukos. Power is saying is, I don't know who this Hashem is. I don't know who this Hashem is. It's nothing. He doesn't believe in the whole concept, or at least he doesn't believe that Hashem is involved. So he says there's Hashem and then there's me, and I have nothing to do with Hashem. So therefore, by Pari, the Hashem is not at all being awoken or revealed with him at all, and definitely, of course, wouldn't have any Hashpah on anybody else. So that's the reason why Pari's kfira in certain ways even worse than Nebuchadnezzar. In the R37, the Rebbe brings from the Sichas Shalom that he tells us that there's three types of Nefesh Bahamas. There's what's called the Shor, the Aes, and the Kesef, the Kevesh, the sheep. He says, the Shor, the Aes, he says, is the worst. The Aes doesn't have any espilus, doesn't get angry. It's just that when you try to actually get him to do something that it doesn't want to do, it's extremely stubborn. The Shor will fight back. He says, the Shor fights back when it doesn't want to do something. And he says, this that it fights back shows on a certain chalishus of the yeshus. He says, the goat, its yeshus is so strong, it doesn't even care what you're saying. It doesn't matter to it. So you want this, you want that. He doesn't even bother to answer. It's just that when you come to actually get him to do it, he just will be stubborn and he won't do it. It's just a stubborn goat. He just refuses. Masha Enkin, the behemoth, he recognizes that you're its master and it should listen. So therefore, it's fighting against you. Why is it fighting? Because he recognizes that you're Metzias, and therefore he fights against your Metzias. And then, of course, he says there's the sheep. The sheep is much easier to conquer. He says a very light type of nature. So, Anyway, so the point, what he's trying to bring out is that lachayra, the nefesh baham, the fear of pari is like the shar, the fear of Nebuchadnezzar is like the shar, which fights against it, that which shows a certain chalishus of its yashos, and it recognizes that there's a master that has to fight against. Masha enkein, pari is more like the ace. It just doesn't care. And he says that the klipa of Nebuchadnezzar, he says, this is the idea of the metzias achoshech. There's a concept of the Chassidus that where does darkness come from? Is darkness just the absence of light, or does darkness have its own metzias? And b'peil, okay, Chassidus, there's different types of darkness, but there's a type of darkness, but there's an actual existence of darkness. Darkness has metzias, and the purpose is to transform that darkness itself to light. And the idea is, because even this darkness, what has metzias, that means it was created. Hashem created a darkness which has to be transformed. So that means that choshech itself has sparks of kedusha within it, extremely hidden, but there are sparks of kedusha. And the reason why within this darkness you're able to fight against Hashem is because the darkness knows that its metzias comes from Hashem. And the purpose of the klipa of Nebuchadnezzar is ultimately to transform the metzias of choshech to light itself. And that's the certain yisrael that comes from the choshech, that the choshech itself is able to be transformed into light. So that's what's at the sparks of kedusha which is in them. Mashenkin, the klipa mitzad itself, the klipa itself doesn't have any of its own energy, just lack of mitzias. So this, that the choshech has a mitzias, that must come from kedusha. And the job is to reveal that kedusha, and that's really through the klipa of Nebuchadnezzar. Mashenkin Pare, as we're going to see, is a very different type of klipa. So al derech me'ein zeh, we also have, just like we have in Kfira, we also have in Nevroim and Olam Hazeh, that you have three types of Nevroim, and they reveal Hashem, or hide Hashem, I should say, in three different levels. We know that Kol Ma'asher Bara Kadosh Baruch Hu Ba'olam Le'bar Derech Lefetala, that everything Hashem created was have a purpose, and everything is L'chavaydei, and therefore, when Hashem created something, each item has a matar, and by looking at each item and recognizing that, everything has a purpose, that makes you come to the recognition that there must have been a uman who create, just like you have a uman that created this world. Just like when you have a kli and a kli has a purpose, that shows that there must have been someone who designed it. If by having a book, someone has a whole book and it's a constant story, that shows there must have been an author. So having a world and everything in the world has a chachma to it and has a wisdom to it, that shows that there must have been a creator. But in the world, sometimes you could have certain creatures that seem like that they don't have a purpose, that they're superfluous, and therefore it shows that with at least with these items, with these creatures, l'chayra, there is no Hashem. And in this itself, we have three levels. We have Rabbi Seinu Amrim, that you have the Zvubim, the Parushim, the Yetushim, but l'chayra, they don't have any ta'alas. You look at them, they seem to be completely extra. So therefore, but yet, if you're ma'ayin more, it tells us that no, they're also part of the Yael Kimas Kol Sha'asam and Yitayv Ma'oid, that they themselves have a ta'alas. They're able to be used for a terufa, they're able to use for medications. So they're part of also l'chavayde. Another medrash brings the pasuk of v'yichulu hashmayim v'aretz v'chol tzva'am, that Hashem completed everything v'chol tzva'am, that part of v'yichulu hashmayim that Hashem made everything complete is through the kol tzva'am. The kol tzva'am is including all these creatures. That's another medrash brings it, not from the pasuk v'hinitev ma'id, but rather from kol tzva'am. But either way, the point is that it looks like, or v'seinu amrin, that even these things that look like they're not being megala the kavod Hashem, the truth is they are. Rav Acha is mechadish, and even another level, that even things which are seem to be going against Hashem, not only they don't have a ta'alas, it seems that Hashem made things which are hedik. Not only they don't have a ta'alas, but it seems that they're damaging. Well, like, if there's a God, why would he create something which is so destructive, something which is so evil, something which is so bad? That doesn't make any sense. Therefore, they show that, no, these nechoshim, akrabayim, they also have a ta'alas. They also have the arbechlab riyasa sha'ilam, as we said before, that through them, Hashem protects you from other types of damages. And then the Medrash says something even deeper, that Hashem says to the Nevi'im, you think that there's no other Nevi'im? I could use these creatures as a Nevi'im. That there's a greater Ta'alas in them. That not only do they have they're able to be used to scare away other Mizikim, but they themselves are able to be used for the Shluchas of Hashem. Because they could, as again, they protect you from other dangers, and also because you're able to be used to punish the Rasha'im. So that reveals, what's the point? That through these creatures, not only do they not deny Hashem, but they're actually megala lukus ba'ilam. By seeing that even things like the nechashim akrabayim, that these things have a purpose, That shows that there's an Uman. That shows that there's a that there's someone that created the world, that there's a creator, there's an artist that created this world. And that's why this answers one of the questions that we had was, what's the comparison of a shliach to these creatures? The shluchim are to reveal Hashem. Masha inking, these creatures are to punish the Rashaim. So the answer is because these creatures also reveal Hashem. Their purpose is to reveal that there's a Uman Shasani, that everything in this world was created l'chavayda. It's revealing the koyach nifl in this world. Koyach apel benifa. So that's really, as you can tell already, the first one is Keneged. That would be Keneged, the idea of like Bilam, first Klipa. And the second one, that those things which go against Hashem, that would be Keneged, the idea of Nebuchadnezzar. But then we get to the Tzfardea. What's the idea of the Tzfardea? The Tzfardea doesn't seem like it has any talus. There's no trufas, there's no medications that are made out of Tzfardea. You don't eat the Tzfardea. It seems like it doesn't have any purpose. It doesn't even damage. It doesn't even have the Tchun of Mazik. So it's like Pare. It's just like Pare is... There's just things that have nothing to do with Hashem. Hashem is very powerful and very good, but he's not the only Metzius in this world. There's other gods, there's other powers. I have my own independent life, which is at all, which is not dependent on Hashem. That seems like the Tzfardea. It doesn't have a talus. It doesn't even fight against Hashem. The chiddush is that no, even the Tzfardea is a shliach Hashem. Why? Because if it wasn't Tzfardea, how would Hashem punish the Mitzrayim? Meaning is that the clip of the Mitzrayim, as we just said, is that they felt that they had their own identity, they had their own existence, which wasn't dependent on Hashem. So therefore, you have the Tzfardea, which also seems that way. And then the Tzfardea does the shluchos of Hashem. What does that mean? The Tzfardea doing to the shluchos of Hashem, the message was that even you, even this type of klipa, which doesn't reveal Hashem, doesn't fight against Hashem, doesn't reveal Hashem by showing that there's a ta'alas, doesn't reveal Hashem by showing that even things which are damaging reveals Hashem, something which is completely agnostic. Even that actually is a revelation of Hashem. How? Because they do the shluchim of Hashem, and more than that, there becomes to this idea that where does their chayis come from? Where does the chayis come from of a creature which feels it's completely independent? That comes from mitziusim atzmusa. That comes from the atzmus itself, from something which is created from ruchnius, or it's ishtalshul from ruchnius. Ruchnius means a revelation of Hashem. It reveals Hashem. So anything from comes from ruchnius recognizes that its source is from Hashem. Things which are klipa, like bilam, the first level, where the klipa, it only covers slightly over the achdus of Hashem. With a little bit of work, you're able to reveal that Hashem is also its source. It recognizes that Hashem is its source. It believes it has some type of independence, but ultimately, even it recognizes that it has its own mitzvahs, but everything that it recognizes that it's created and its life is from Hashem. It just has its own desires. And even if Nebuchadnezzar that fights against Hashem, this that it fights against Hashem, it's because of the spark of Kedusha within it. There's a certain ruchnis which is revealed within Bilam and revealed within Nebuchadnezzar, which causes them to recognize to Hashem. Masha Enkin Power, there's no ruchnis at all revealed. There's nothing. So it doesn't reveal any ruchnis. So where does this come from? Where can this idea be that something that doesn't recognize Hashem at all can actually has to come from the highest level? That comes from Atzmus. Because Hashem Taka wasn't created from something else. Who? Hashem, Mitziusim Atzmus. Hashem comes from itself. Hashem, nothing created Hashem. Hashem is the creator of all. So only Hashem truly has the knowledge and the feeling that he comes from himself. So where does Pari get his klipa from? This klipa is actually a revelation of Mitziusim Atzmusai, is a racial revelation of Atzmus. That Pari was created directly from Hashem. Or this level of Yeshus was directly created from Hashem. That it is not meant to reveal Hashem, but rather its inyan is that it has its own identity. And the chiddush is, that's what Pari thinks. But the chiddush is that, no, even this is something which Hashem makes. Even this, that you feel that you're a complete Yesh and you're independent of Hashem, that itself also comes from Hashem. And the purpose of that is to reveal the highest levels of Atzmusa Mehusai, to be able to make a Dir B'tachta, and where Mehusai Matzmusa is going to be revealed. And so now, this answers all the other questions. Let's go through the questions that we had. Question number one is, why dafka the tzvardeh? Then we have all, Hashem could have only punished the mitzvah tzvardeh. We had all these other types of makas too. True, but the ikar klipa of Mitzrayim had to be dafka through the tzvardeh, because only the tzvardeh broke their main klipa. Don't we have harbe shluchim lamakim? Yes, we have harbe shluchim lamakim. But these other shluchim lamakim reveal Hashem in a different way. For example, the Rebbe says in R 50:49, you have Makas Arbe, the locusts. They're Roy Lamai Chaladim. That's why Hashem removed all the Arbe in order that the Mitzrayim, after the plague was done, he removed them. So they shouldn't have any Na. And even the Kinim, the Kinim seem Yuter. No, but they're Mazik. It's a Chayri, it's a sickness. So there's something which is Menagi. The only thing which had zero benefit or zero hezek, which is tzvardeh. That's why Hashem didn't remove the tzvardeh once the plague was over. Rather, it was left as big piles, and it would cause the smell. So that's why it had to be tzvardeh. And even though there's harbe shluchim lamakim, but ilulei had tzvardeh, you wouldn't have had this lesson. It wasn't just the punishment stream. Yes, if it was just the punishment stream, he would have had many shluchim lamakim. But the point was to be able to break the klipa, and that he needed dafka the inyan of the tzvardeh, that through the tzvardeh going on mitzir's nefesh, to do Hashem's ratzon, that was able to reveal, to break the klipa of Parei, that even Parei and Mitzrayim, within them, they can recognize that they themselves are really a shliach of Hashem. They're also part of Hashem's, they're also part of the kolash or asa. He does point out in R50 that even though L'chayr tells us in the Medrash that the Mitzrayim did, the Tzfardim, the frogs did cause a damage. It went into the body of the Mitzrayim and caused damage. He says, first of all, that's not my first Peshut HaShemikra, that the frogs went into their bodies. It wasn't so clear from what the damage was from the Psukim. It's not obvious. It sounded just more like they were annoying, that they're a nuisance, not that they're causing damage. That's more of a Medrash that tells us that. And either way, he says, Al-Kapanim, that's not the nature of the Tzvardeh. Even if they did cause damage, that's not the point. The point is what is the nature of the Tzvardeh is that it's not a damaging type of creature. It's a nuisance. It's not something which is a mazik. And even this type of creature reveals Hashem. And the next, then that also explains why, of course, he adds the Tzvardeh, afilu Tzvardeh. The Iker Chiddush of Rav Acher is that even a mazik, even these creatures which are mazikim, are b'chla b'riyasa shal kadosh baruch hu. So the answer is that tzvardeh is another level. That not only something which is a mazik, but afilu aydei tzvardeh, even a tzvardeh, which l'chayra doesn't have any benefit, even the tzvardeh doesn't have a benefit, and also doesn't damage, even the tzvardeh is also b'chla b'riyasa shal kadosh baruch hu. And that explains why he also need to bring a proof. He brings the proof with the tzvardeh, because the tzvardeh dafka, you would think, would not be able to be a shliach of Hashem. And Kamash Malan, the dafka, it was a shliach of Hashem. And the final question was the connection of these creatures to the shlichos. And the idea is, because to a Navi, the idea is that Navi is to Megal Elokus, and also these creatures, especially the Tzvardeh, was for the purpose of revealing Elokus in the world. And he says, right, the dafka through the Tzvardim, it broke the special klipa of Li Arina Ani Sasani, and as Mazgala the Inya Biyedim Mitzrayim Ki Ani Hashem, had bevisen as das kum from Shem Hashem Mishpizayich Zayin Shem Shiach Zekenu very quickly.